Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time for our second special guest this morning. Joining me by phone this morning is the Reverend Richard Resch. He's cantor and associate professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Good morning, Professor Resch.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being our guest on His Time this morning.
Good to be here.
You have been serving at Concordia Theological Seminary for some time. When did your career there at the seminary begin?
I came here in 1977. And then in 78, I started a choir called the Cantorai.
A 16-voice choir. What a beautiful concept. Where did the idea for the Cantorai begin?
Well, we never had a group that went out to represent the seminary. We had some wonderful choirs here on campus, but we really wanted to take a modeling of our orders of service and our amazing heritage of music out into the church and bring a taste of the seminary to the church. So we started with just an octet for a couple of years and then moved to 12. But for about the last 20 years, it has been 16. It's just exactly the right number, I think, for for hosting and for traveling, all the logistics and everything, because every single rehearsal is required for the men, and you keep it small, and it's easier to keep control of the whole thing.
Sure. I can imagine if you had a larger voice choir, that would certainly be difficult to travel with, and as you said, to have those required rehearsals, that could be difficult. But 16 voice, so how many parts do you usually have in a choir like that?
Well, it's basically first and second tenor and first and second bass. But we sometimes do eight-part music, too. And we're getting ready to leave tomorrow for our Easter tour. And most of what we are doing will be four-part music. There are, there's one Russian piece that does have eight parts in it.
Wow. And tell us, what are some of the choices, what are some of the selections that you've made over the years for or music for the Cantorai?
Well, I try to represent the heritage that we have as Lutherans, and then also the different periods of music. So, like this particular tour, we have a very early Latin chant that is goes way back, obviously, into the church. And we have some Reformation music, some Renaissance, some Baroque, of course, some Romantic, and actually then some that have been written within the last 30 or 40 years. So I try to do the whole spectrum of our historical heritage.
And speaking of our heritage, you serve as cantor and associate professor of pastoral ministry and missions. Tell us about the office or the work of a cantor. What's the history behind that?
Okay, a wonderful question. It goes all the way back to Martin Luther when he gave singing back to the church, to the congregation, and took it away from the exclusive singing of choirs and clergy. Then he needed somebody to lead that, and so he established, actually, at that point, the office of cantor. And his first cantor was Johann Walter, and he was trained in music and in theology. He taught languages as well in the school. So he was not ordained, but he was then the leader of the choir that was going to now lead the congregation that would be singing. And that choir's name was the Cantorai. So really, here at the seminary, we have just gone back to two names right from the Reformation era, the cantor directing the Cantorai, which is leading the congregational song. So that's basically what the whole cantor program is here, and we actually have two full-time cantors. Kevin Hildebrandt is a cantor here, too, and so we have many, many choirs, and the services, we believe that our task is to teach the hymnal that our church has been given so that pastors will know how to best use that. And so that's really what our job is, to teach that hymnal and to teach that rich, rich heritage.
Mm-hmm. And the word cantor, where does that come from?
Well, it goes way, way back, and so there are usages in other church bodies. Like today, a Roman Catholic Church may have a cantor, which is somebody, and even in the Jewish religion, they would have a cantor. But that would be somebody leading with their voice. The Lutheran understanding of it, starting with Luther, is more of a director of voices. Now, that can be actually a director of a brass ensemble, or, it is a leader. I'm not actually, I do sometimes sing, but that's not my main role. My main role is to do whatever it's going to take, play the organ, lead the choir, whatever, to get the congregations singing as a unified voice, as a strong confession.
And why is music such an important part of the life of the congregation?
Well,
that's a dissertation, right?
here again, we go back to Luther's understanding of Scripture, and that's what we base it on. Luther had the highest view of music that anybody could have, and that is that the music in the church is serving the Word of God, and it is actually proclaiming. It is a preacher. So everything that we choose, and I'm also the cantor at St. Paul's, and I make all the musical choices there, they are all based on what is going to support the preaching for that particular day. So I'm not picking it based on, people's favorites or a whole list of other things that could enter in. I'm picking it on what is actually going to reinforce, supplement that strong preacher that's going to come from God's word right in the lectern and as it is preached in the pulpit. So you're actually getting many sermons in one day. That's that high role of music that Luther has given us, and it is just, it's a joy to live in that kind of a high, high view of it.
Hmm. During your time at Concordia Theological Seminary, in addition to founding the Seminary Cantorai, you also co-founded the Good Shepherd Institute of Pastoral Theology and Sacred Theology. Tell us about this institute.
Okay, yes. Dr. Arthur Justin and I started that back in the year 2000, and it was to support the very things that I have been saying in the last few minutes. Very often, the church musician is kind of off there on their own. We have we know what the pastor is supposed to be about. And the church musician does not always know what they're supposed to be about. So we wanted to form an institute that would actually bring these two people, these two key leaders, every time the congregation gathers, bring them together to learn how to work together. And so that we have every year a conference, and we try to get pastors to invite to come along with their musician. It could be a choir director. Sometimes they even bring their elders. So it is other people involved in the worship decisions so that they are learning how to do this well together. We have conferences here just for pastors, and in the summer we have conferences here just for musicians. But this is the one that brings the two of them together, and it is a unique kind of conference, and it is really fitting, I think, a need in the church, so that it just helps them in their jobs.
Well, after all of these years and these accomplishments at Concordia Theological Seminary, this year you recently announced that your intentions to retire after the academic year. After all of these accomplishments, now what are your plans for retirement?
Well, it's good. I have a whole list, and it's interesting now that people know that I'm going to be free. It seems like all of the projects and the offers to do things and speak and write and are just coming in the door, and I think I'm going to be very, very busy. I just will not have all of the rehearsal schedules and all of the, you know, the services and the classroom work that I have been doing. That will not be on the table now, but it will be a new area of study and work.
Absolutely. Pastors never retire. It's just their daily routine changes when they retire, quote unquote.
That's right. That's right.
Well, hopefully you'll find some time also to enjoy retirement and not work all the time, but do some other things as well and relax.
Oh, I plan to do that too. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Cantor Hildebrand, will he be taking on more responsibilities in your retirement as well?
Yes. He will move into my main responsibilities that I had here at the seminary. And then we are bringing on a new full-time cantor to take his associate cantor place. So that hasn't been announced yet who that will be, but we have been working on that, and it's quite exciting. So there'll be a new young person coming in, and
wonderful, and more opportunities for great music and service to the church in the days ahead. Well, you've certainly set the standard high, Professor Resch. You've done fine work, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Reverend Richard Resch. He's cantor and associate professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, and about to embark on retirement at the end of this academic year. Professor Resch, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
Oh, it's been good to be here.
Blessings to you and your upcoming retirement.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to study the Daily Lectionary. Hope you can stick around for that conversation as we study with the Reverend Quentin Anderson from Concordia University, Irvine. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, listeners.